Marconi.
Hey, whoa. Stop the clock. I need a grilled Nutella peanut butter sandwich now.
Nick. It sounds so damn good that it's just a spiral into hell.
Tiny. I know I should be able to walk by a cake and be like, you cake. And I know I can
Andy,
do that.
Come on.
I
mean, we should never ever say f*** you to a cake.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny. Back together.
Greetings, podcast from Carm Padres. Carmon. What was I trying to say?
Companions. Greetings. greetings, internet podcast. Greetings, podcast comrades.
Hello.
I'm Bologna's friend, Sean Marconi. You know, mental health is as important as physical health, and I do my best to try to neglect both of them equally, as you can see. You know, and he drives with his hands at 10 and 2 because it's safest, but he also, you know, uses the devil horns while doing it so everyone knows he's still cool. Say hello to Nick.
Yep.
I give him a big buildup, and Nick's, devil horn. Nick's response is a very quiet in the background. Yep.
I forgot we went on TV and I was doing the devil horns.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Devil horns.
And if he tells you, I'm trying to introduce Tiny, Nick, come on. You had your chance. And if he tells you he can't help you because he already has a lot on his plate, he's definitely referring to nachos. Here's Tiny.
You know what, dude? It makes me really happy and angry at the same time that what you say about me is so accurate. All the time. Yeah, I am. If I'm eating a plate of nachos, guess who's not getting help?
How could you be angry about accuracy?
Well, just because, like, Marconi's on the other side of the earth, and I haven't physically seen him in, like, a couple of minutes.
Well,
and
you see, if you'd studied geography, you would know that Chicago isn't even in the United States. So there you go.
Yeah, it's not. It's in Canada. And it's I like it.
Tiny, did you know that Chicago, Illinois, is on Lake Michigan?
No, and let me be honest about something. Not only did I not know that Chicago was even, like, by any kind of water, I really thought in my head I would have argued that it was kind of by Texas. Like, it's down below a little bit. Like, I really, like, I would have dug my heels in, like, no, it's down by Texas, actually. And it's not at all.
If geography isn't your strong point and math aren't your strong points, what were your strong points in school?
Lunch
and recess.
You know, at one time we had a radio show, and now we're back together, reconfigured with the same probability as a bear attack, but none of the entertainment value.
Hello.
My volume is.
Hello.
My volume is. My volume is.
Way up. I don't have headphones.
Hello.
I have a microphone processor. Microphone processor.
Yeah.
Hello.
I got that part.
Just make sure you, your microphone is.
Hello.
It's an overmodulated.
Hello.
I
hear myself a little bit in your headphones.
I don't have headphones.
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 Hello.
Did you ever hear us
in your headphones?
You know, I like that. Now I think about that. I was thinking that maybe that is how we sum up the podcast. It's all of the best parts of being back at school, lunch and recess.
Yeah, I don't like to think about the school part of it. I hated school.
I miss my teacher that had the fat ass. I just wanted to. I always stared at it.
I had a teacher I had a crush on too. Miss Fox was her name. And she would get down on my level, and I was so shy. I didn't like to talk to anyone, and I changed schools all the time. And I had a tumultuous home life related to a stepdad situation. Mm. And it was always some kind of drama, you know.
Is that good?
Tumultuous? No, it was horrible. She was very in tune with me, and she was very attractive. She had red hair. She always wore these sweaters. She knew that I was into drawing and, you know, artistic stuff, whatever. So she would have these parts of her day where she'd just say, hey, everybody, draw me a picture. And I would draw her something I knew she would like. And if I was upset, she would get down. She would squat down on my desk and put her hands there and just talk to me. And I just remember the hairs on the back of my neck would vibrate. You know what I mean? Like I just,
yeah.
I knew there was something. I knew because I was like third grade or something. I knew this is what it was like to like a girl.
Yeah, man. That's going to be, you know what? That's going to be my new standard. Listen to me, hoes. I'm not going to marry none of y'all until you make me feel like my second grade teacher, Mrs. Weidlich, made me feel. Because that chick
Mrs.
made me
what?
Feel.
Mrs. What? What
Mrs.
was her name?
Mrs. Weidlich.
Weidlich?
Weidlich, yeah. She
Mrs.
was my second grade
Weidlich.
Teacher. Weidlich. It was, so I think it's like W. Well, I mean, in retrospect, yeah, she had a big old mouth. But the thing was, is that the way she made me feel was kind of like that. Like, I was too young to necessarily have like a but she made me feel love. She made me feel yes! like I want to marry this and none of you girls are getting any of my time until you make me feel like that. Getting a sex, that part's easy. You know what I'm saying?
You were only in love with her because the name was Weidlich.
Well, that had a lot to do with it too, because the possibilities and the creativity of a second grade Andy is just crazy. But the way she made me feel, like I know exactly what you're talking about, Marconi, and that's exactly who I'm gonna marry and put my time into. Girls, take notes. Make guys feel special.
Yeah. So, what was your teacher's name, Marconi?
Miss Fox.
Was she a fox?
She was gorgeous, yeah.
All right, so my teacher's name was Mrs. Topless, and she was neither.
No,
she was neither a fox, and she didn't have a wide leg.
I've been watching a lot of shows. The Undoing on HBO Max, everybody told me, you have to watch this. It's with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Downs. No, what's the guy's name? Not Hugh.
Hugh Downs? It is Hugh Downs.
What's his name, Nick? The English guy. You guys all know each other, don't you?
Yeah, but now you've said Hugh Downs, Hugh Laurie?
Hugh Grant. Yeah,
he's him. Another English guy.
Right. Yeah, he's it's a good one, The Undoing. I won't give any of it, but essentially Nicole Kidman and Hugh Downs.
Yeah,
Hugh Grant. The guy that likes to sleep with transvestite hookers, wait, him.
Yeah, wasn't that like 30 years ago, though? Like, didn't he do that
long ago? But it was a long time ago.
But he was dating. Who was he dating? Elizabeth Hurley?
Oh, yeah.
And he did it on her, right? He got a...
But who hasn't... who hasn't dated a transvestite hooker when you were dating her?
right. She's one. Like, she's in her 50s, and she looks fantastic.
Now, but when he was dating, it was like 20 years ago.
That's what I mean, is she's kept herself together. She looks about the same.
Yeah. She could.
Well, who's someone else has kept herself together is Cher. I can't believe it. She's in her 70s and she looks like she's in her 40s.
If I could remember.
I mean, that's definitely a lot of, classic situations going on, right?
I don't care if she's had like scaffolding put up to reconstruct her face. She still looks amazing.
I've never been attracted to Cher. No, that means
me neither.
Anything.
But in the 70s, in her 70s, man, I mean, I've seen pictures of her 40 years ago next to pictures of her today, and I can't tell the difference.
I've never been a Cher fan. I always thought she was way overrated. And I also think like Bruce Springsteen is way overrated.
Cher is cool, but I'm not a huge fan.
I think I like, you know, her sassiness a little bit. Like I liked her on David Letterman sometimes, but she's just kind of, everyone makes a big deal about her and I don't really get it, I guess. She
won my heart in that movie Mask.
You know what? You're right. She's a great actress in a lot of movies that I like. What was the other one with the witches, the Moon
Sisters?
Oh,
the Moon Over Miami is one with Nicolas Cage. Where she was the Italian chick.
Maybe it was it with her and Bette Midler? Was Bette Midler?
Oh, no, Hocus Pocus.
There you go. There's a bunch of movies with... So yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I spoke too soon. Because you're right. Like that Mask movie with Rocky Dennis was probably one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. Like I love that movie.
Yeah, so good.
So I'm sorry, Cher. I didn't mean to... I spoke too soon. Nick, you're right. She is fantastic. 70. How do you say it? She's in her 70s.
70s.
God damn it.
I've got like a giant high ass.
What a visual.
Is it one of those things where you have to spread them and show them Old Glory?
But also on the other hand, I'm now going to be the butthole guy.
Snakes and tongues and women wearing bits of string.
Get up right now for some snacks because we'll be right back.
If you haven't figured out the internet by now, get out.
Yeah, backtogetherpod.com. That one.
You know the internet is my nemesis.
25 hours of original content.
Backtogetherpod.com.
The fact that none of the episodes have made me go to therapy. That's my favorite part.
I really enjoy the fact that sometimes even we don't know what we're talking about.
Find previous episodes and more at backtogetherpod.com.
There's no need to bring your brain here. Machine Gun Kelly, I like him a lot. I feel like, has he made Megan, what's his girlfriend's name? Megan
Fox.
Yes, thank you. Has he made her relevant again? Because she was just kind of doing nothing. I don't know what she was doing. She was in Transformers, and then,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't really. I think she's kind of weird, but he seems to really be in love. He says he's never been in love before until her.
Well, I don't know if I don't want to be the one, you know, to break that up or anything, but she has. Have you seen her thumbs?
Yeah, that's the whole thing with the Megan Fox thumb. They're like stubby, right?
I can't. I can't get, I'm sorry. I can't co-sign that, man. She looks like she was going at 100 miles an hour and stopped with her thumbs.
I mean, I think you probably would look past it if it was in real life.
I want to say yeah, but I couldn't imagine those stumpy thumbs on. It would look really weird. But I'd probably get over it, yeah.
By the way, this is the chauvinistic channel we brought you. First, I talk about old lady. Now Tiny is like, well, I couldn't Megan Fox because she has weird thumbs. And Nick's going to say something soon. You know, with MG Kelly, I like what he does with Travis Barker. He has a good vibe with him. And I like his performances on these shows. You know, during quarantine, he kind of brings you the feeling of being at a live concert when he's just doing it with just him and like Travis Barker and that's it.
Yeah, his pop punk thing is cool. I was a little reluctant because I feel like, and I say this with all due respect, but I feel like when an artist reaches out specifically to Travis Barker, it's like, this is my last chance at trying to be cool again, because there were some rappers that did it. There were some rock guys that reached out to him for, like, you know, tried to make a hit single, and it worked. And I was just like, oh, yeah, you know, here we go. MGK is trying to be relevant, and, you know, he's at the end of his career if he's reaching out to Travis Barker. But it worked out great.
Yeah. It's weird. It is weird with Travis Barker because he's, like, twice as old as MG Kelly.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Machine Gun Kelly. And Travis Barker always stays relevant because he's kind of quiet and he just kills it on the drums.
Yep.
And he doesn't try to be like the front man or do any of that. Like, he's just like, hey, I'll be in Blink 182. I'll hang out with Tom DeLonge. I'll do Angels and Airwaves reboot and Machine Gun Kelly and whoever wants to collab with me. I'm all in. Didn't he do a collab with a couple of DJs, right? I mean, he's always been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like he did, what's the guy's name that's no longer with us? It died. AM, yeah. DJ AM. They had a really good thing going with the mixes that he would do, and then Travis would play drums live.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah, I think he does that with a couple other DJs now. But
yeah, he made a couple songs with Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, it's like Travis Barker probably has more of a career than half the people in music right now.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Because when we were playing Blink 182, Travis Barker was kind of like the second drummer. And they were like, hey, well, give this guy a try. He seems pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And he was super quiet, never talked. When we do interviews, Travis would just kind of sit there. And
I remember one of the last times we got to interview him, he was, I don't think it was with Blink. I don't know what he was doing, but it was at the Crystal Ballroom. And I remember meeting him and he promised me a t-shirt because I asked him, I said, hey man, I need a t-shirt from you guys, but I'm like a 10 million X. And he said, oh, that's not a problem, man. All my security guards are big Hawaiian guys. So we have those sizes. And then
nice.
He was like, oh yeah, let me ask the manager real quick and let me just get you a shirt. And then I never saw him again.
Did he call you homie?
He did call me homie.
I thought he would. That's Travis Barker's way. He calls people he likes homie.
Yeah, so, he did.
That right there. You know, we should just make you a Travis Barker shirt. It was probably either Angels and Airwaves or he had that other band, something Bots or whatever.
Oh, it Aquabats. Was that. It was that one. Yes.
Aquabots or Aquabats or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. It was that.
I love that he's had such a storied career and he's such a nice guy, real quiet guy. But if you get him talking, he's got a great personality too. Like he's a really mm-hmm. nice person yep. and really yeah, smart like about music. I think that's the thing is when you're a drummer, nobody expects anything from you except for, you know, hey, stay on beat and do your thing. And wow, that's awesome. You know, when you're in a concert like Taylor yeah. Hawkins or anybody like that in music. But when you become a guy who works with so many people because so many people respect you and think highly of you, that's better than being being a lead singer in one band. If you're yeah. a part of like 20, come on, that's pretty cool. But he should have gotten you that shirt.
I know, I'm still salty about it.
Nick, maybe we should get on that with Travis Barker.
What? Travis, I know you're listening.
Yeah. Hashtag Travis what would be Barker shirt.
That's right. What size do you need, Tiny? Let's talk to him right now. Travis, what Tiny needs a shirt. Remember, we interviewed you about your Aquabats or Aqua Socks or whatever.
Tiny should make the appeal and make it from the heart.
All right, yeah, go do it Tiny style.
Hey Tito, I just remember when we met at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland, Oregon, and
call him homie if you can. Slip that in.
Hey homie. Remember me? Hi. And we met at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland, Oregon, and I got to interview you and hang out in the back, and I told you about the bouncy room and you thought that was cool. And then I was like, "Hey, those shirts you got on, that would look good on me too." And I feel like, you know, remember when you said that I could have one? And then I was like, oh, but I'm really big. And he was like, homie, no problem. My security guys are bigger than you and they have shirts on. And I said, well, thank God. And then I said, I would like one. And he said, oh, yeah, homie, no problem. Let me talk to the manager. I'll be right back. But Travis, you never were brought back. And I was just wondering if you had an extra shirt laying around that you could throw my way, please.
P.O. Box, care of Andy.
Yeah. Can you just send it to Marconi's house? Because I know you have his address still. And can you just put for Andy Marconi, don't touch it. And then it can be my shirt. But if you're going to send out shirts, you can send Marconi one too, because he's going to have to be responsible for my shirt for a little while.
Do you want the Aquabats shirt or do you want like a Blink 182 shirt or a Machine Gun Kelly or who's your favorite collab? Maybe a collab.
Oh, that's a good idea. I would like a t-shirt from the collaboration of you and Busta Rhymes, because the snares against Busta Rhymes' voice is magical. And then I really like the Aqua Socks, so that shirt too. And then if you could send a third, I'll send you $5 for shipping and handling.
That's nice of you.
Andy, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, Nick is so busy that I've stopped trying to communicate with him mostly, because I know it's just it's a futile, you know what I mean? So I just go, well, I'm lucky to have my time with my friend when we record a podcast, but I'm not going to reach out between, you know, when we record, because Nick just doesn't have time to respond. I don't want him to feel obligated anymore. You know what I mean? So I thought I'll just chill and hang out. But then Nick texted me. What did you text me? Oh, you said your schedule is really packed in the next few weeks, but you'd like us to chat when I get a chance? And I don't know if that was about the podcast, about something we're going to talk about today, or a secret, Nick, that you needed to share with
no,
just
no,
me.
No, that was about the intro. I wanted to talk to you about the intro, but
okay.
Ended up that I was in voice sessions when you called me yesterday. I was in voice sessions.
Yeah, Nick has like 17 phone numbers, and I was like, "Well, I'll try to call him." And
the funny thing is, like, only two of them work. I don't know who's not answering their phone.
And so I was like, Nick just did this so he can, it was a power move. So you can be like, he hasn't been calling me or texting me. So now I'm going to say, hey, call me when you get a chance. And then I'm not going to answer any of those phones. So I probably don't even have the real phone number for Nick. I just have all his burners.
Nick, he is surrounded by phones right now.
18
And they're all, we finally taught him how to turn them all off while we're doing the podcast. I think I'm very proud of you, Nick. Your ADD is slowing down.
Yeah, really.
You mentioned something in our group chat, and I thought, well, this maybe is what he wanted to talk about, is that you drove around Ludacris's SUV.
Yeah, so Ludacris got a brand new Mercedes Maybach GLS 600. And we had to, there's an embargo on it. So we weren't allowed to talk about it until this morning at 7 a.m.
And so what does that mean? That's top secret that Ludacris got a new car?
Yeah, no, we couldn't talk about it, like that we had driven the car.
You can't talk about, a rich guy got a car. No, you got to keep that secret, top secret.
Right. Yeah.
And they trust you with that kind of, that's information. Yeah. That's like, you know, stuff you trust the president with, you know?
And you know why? I'll tell you why they do that. And they do this stuff quite regularly, is these car companies.
Your dog was sent in because your dog was told that you're not supposed to talk about it even on this podcast.
Really?
But you're going against the embargo, apparently.
Yeah. So what these car companies do is they'll have a version of this car, and they'll have like six or seven different journalists get to do the stories, and they want everyone to release their stories at the same time. So they put an embargo date on it, and you all are allowed to release the story at the same time, which was 7 a.m. this morning.
That seems kind of weird. Like,
it's
why?
Regular. Well, a lot of times, like, you'll get all the facts and you get to do things. So a lot of the news happens like this all the time. You'll get fed news stories. You get to write your story, but you're not allowed to release the details until a certain time.
And then if you do, the punishment is they never let you have that information again, or?
Exactly. And it happens regularly. People release the info ahead of the time, and then they're like, nope, sorry, we don't do it again once you break the embargo. So I'll give you an example. In the automotive industry, obviously I'm in, somebody broke the embargo on a Ford event last year, and they've never been invited to do any of stuff with Ford again. Ford said, nope, sorry,
That's a lot of free food and buffets, right?
Yeah, shrimp. We call them shrimp bottom feeders.
Oh.
So they don't get free shrimp.
You invited me to one of those events, and it was just food and a bunch of guys standing around talking about their YouTube channels.
Yeah, and free alcohol, and yeah.
And they're all kind of like, why is this dude here? That's kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah.
Guys make
a living out of just eating free shrimp.
They really should. I would. If I would do that, Andy, wouldn't you? Like if they just let you, invited you to those parties, I would be like, hey, I'll go to an event.
Yeah, they need to do is tell me about a buffet, dude. I don't care what y'all are talking about.
I mean, so you stand around those, because I remember we stood around at one place and then we went to another place to stand around and eat more food. And then
welcome to the hoity-toity auto show season.
And you stand around fancy cars, and then sometimes they had like a model from like the Black Panther movie, like one of those cars.
Yeah.
And then you got to eat food near that car, and then people kept rubbing it down.
Yeah.
And then it was really something, Andy. You got to stand near a car and eat food.
So you have sort of, you understand it from an automaker's point of view, right? Like I can sell a couple hundred thousand cars by my stories, right? So my
stories, right?
My TV, my videos, my appearances on TV and video, right. I sell 200,000 or 300,000 cars each year. So these guys want me to come and talk about their cars. So they try and fill me with alcohol and food. So they invite me to these things, and all of the presidents are always like, "Ah, oh, lovely to see you here. Here, have some more shrimp." Well, you know, I mean, I get it. I try to do my due diligence, and I go and I shake hands and I kiss a few babies, and I eat a couple of shrimp, and I have a couple of cocktails, and I'm very nice, and I'm very happy that they include me in their events.
Of course,
and
then I'm out.
There are certain guys that get invited to these parties, and they go, and they're like wide mouth bass, and they just consume as much alcohol, as much shrimp as they can.
That would be Tiny and I. We would go. That's all we would do.
Yep.
All right. We would. I would bring a giant buffet bag, like a bag with like the aluminum heating element in it, and to keep the food warm, so I could get it to my house safely. And I would have a scoop, and I would just scoop all the things I wanted and put it in little. Maybe bring some containers to put it in.
I mean, I could tell you stories about certain people who. You know, there's some auto journalists that have horrible reputations that have showed up at events. And so,
but Ludacris buys a car and then you drive it before he gets the car?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't actually his car. It was just identical to his car, because I'm sure he didn't want all these journalists in and out of his car. So they get a car that's actually exactly the same.
I mean, they'll
the
wipe it down, right? They're not eating shrimp in the car.
Right.
Are they?
Something like that.
So when does he actually get the car? When the whole thing's over?
Yeah.
Does he have to wait? Is there an embargo on
Ludacris? We had video and pictures with Ludacris actually with the car they gave us. And then they sent a car to us. So I'm pretty sure that it was identical to his, but it wasn't the same one. Cause I doubt they gave him the car and then took it away again.
Tiny, how would he know if it was a replica of Ludacris's car or an actual Ludacris car? What would be the difference?
There'd be chicken and waffles in the glove compartment, because that was one. That was his first big album, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Right. I really do like Ludacris. I don't know if he's had. I haven't really kept up with him in the last 15 years. Probably, maybe not. I don't know. I know he does collabs and he's on certain songs and stuff, but.
He's acting a lot more than anything else. He did all the Fast and Furious movies. He's doing voices for some animated movies now.
I'm not worried about him. I know he's fine.
He's doing a lot of executive producing stuff and a lot of like high end stuff. You know,
like if I was Ludacris, I would do nothing. You know, like I made my money. I'm just gonna drive around these cars and have fun.
But you know me, right? You know what I'm like. Like, I can't stay still for 2 minutes. I'm always trying to do stuff. And I'm guessing that most driven people are the same. Like, you just can't sit around doing nothing.
Oh,
you have
to
be on to the next thing. And it doesn't matter if it's whatever.
Like, obviously, I made all my money 16, 17 years ago. I could be sitting around doing nothing, but I still work.
Right,
Tiny? I mean, we could have retired after that radio show.
Yeah, I could have been left.
We just decided, you know, it's probably better if we stay in motion. So, because a lot of people retire and they don't do anything and then they die. I think that's more of why I continue. I'm afraid of death. So I keep myself active. So now the whole thing, Ludacris has a car that does he get the embargo? And then if.
I don't think he's doing like drive impressions and all those sort of things. So
but what if he did? And then what if he released it soon? Would Ford say to a celebrity like Mercedes, Ludacris with millions of followers on Instagram, no, you can't buy our cars now?
Well, first of all, nobody can buy it yet because it's not on sale. So he got one before it went on sale. So
did he have to pay extra for that, or is it just a bonus?
I'm sure there was some secret special deals going on. We haven't been made privy to that.
Does he have to go to the dealership and, you know...
I'm pretty much guessing that they did some deal with him because he let them do video with him in the car and he did a whole bunch of video stuff. So I'm pretty much guessing that Mercedes Maybach did a bit of a special deal with him.
Was this down in ATL?
Again, that wasn't made clear, but he was in his studio doing some stuff.
You weren't in ATL?
No, I was in Orange County.
So they shipped a car. Well, does he live in ATL, Andy? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he lives in Calabasas.
Okay, I say ATL because that's what the kids say. It's Atlanta. Mm, oh. right?
It's Hotlanta.
Right, Hotlanta. That's where Ludacris is, and that's where Outkast, Big Boy, and
I think that's probably where he started. But you know what happens with most stars is they live in Orange County now.
It's not going to happen to Run the Jewels. That's Atlanta is their home.
Okay. Oh, I love them.
All right, just
yes, but yeah, all respect to Ludacris because he's still one of my favorite guys. I like his songs. He's just very motivational, and I. Andy, remember hosing different area codes?
Oh my God, we wore the tracks out of that song.
What a legend that guy was with that song, and move, get out of the way. Like
I was just about to say that, like he started a whole like just a saying, like move.
Tiny, here's something for you, Nick. You'll probably love this too because you love Nutella. I saw this on TikTok and I tried it. It's the greatest snack ever. The grilled Nutella peanut butter sandwich. It's
what?
Yeah. Now, I don't know this. I'm probably doing it wrong, but it's so right. I drizzle a little oil in the pan, a medium heat. I put butter on it just like I'm doing a grilled cheese on the outside. I lay it down. As it's warming up, I take a little spatula and I put on Nutella on one side. Like a couple, like two layers of Nutella, and then the same amount of peanut butter on the other side, a smooth peanut butter, not crunchy. But you can have crunchy if you want. That actually sounds kind of good when you think about like a Rocher ball, one of those, what are they called, Nick?
Ferrero Rocher.
Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah.
And sound ventriloquist.
And I mean, I'm sure you could add other things in there if you wanted to, like marshmallows, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. There's all kinds of additives, but the two, just the Nutella and the peanut butter and the butter on the bread. Oh my God. Guacamole.
I have to tell you, I'm never going to try that. You know why?
Why? Why?
The same reason I'm never going to try crack. Because I feel like this is just a road to 1-800-DIABETES. It's just like it's just the beginning of trouble. It sounds so damn good that it's just a spiral into hell.
It really is. After the holiday, I allow myself to do one once a week. And you're right. I have to
wait until it's twice a week or three times a week or just every meal. And at some point you're going to be going, why am I 650 pounds?
Oh, wait. I had grilled cheese for dinner. Why not a grilled Nutella peanut butter? Why? What's the difference? Who cares?
Or it'll start. I had a grilled cheese for the first course and now a grilled peanut butter Nutella for the second course. And then one for dessert.
Now, somebody suggested, I don't know how you guys feel about this. Somebody suggested, this is a TikTok thing, that you try Nutella with cheese on a sandwich.
No, God damn it, no.
Chocolate and cheese.
No. Was the person white?
Probably.
That's some Caucasian shit, dude. That's directly made from a Karen or an Eddie. That's hell no.
But I will say this, Andy. I need to restock my supply of gummies. Because when I was on the gummies, that's when I would remember those TikToks like, hey, whoa, 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 stop the clock. I need a grilled Nutella peanut butter sandwich now.
Yeah.
Now.
I see a pattern occurring here. Like, first of all, you're trying, all of these foods are just another way to get fat and sugar into your body. And the gummies are the vehicle to allow you to do it.
The gummies are like my scoops.
The gummies are your little like, okay, it's okay to do this.
But Andy, tell me this, because you are a seasoned veteran when it comes to the weeds. Don't you think that weed helps you come up with combinations that are delicious? Like there's something about it, right? That just makes your brain click to like, oh, I have all these ingredients in my refrigerator. I'm making this. And had you not been on the weeds or the gummies or whatever, you might not have thought of those combinations.
No, it unlocks the deep, dark in the very back of your brain, the ideas.
Everybody who eats gummies is okay with weird combinations. It's a thing.
But not even weird combinations, like really good combinations. Like, hey, I have some ground beef, I have cheese, and I have, tortillas. Okay, I could make a taco.
That's the basis for a taco.
Like, I should add a hash brown to that. You know what I mean? That's the weed. That's the weed talking. Like, I should grill how about some bacon in there too? You know,
like, just think of anything that's unhealthy and add it in.
And Nick always likes to spoil the party by telling you it's his guilt level, right, Andy? He can't let us enjoy it because he can't enjoy it.
I am with you. I get it. I totally get it. I get it. But my mind is like, I'm just about hold myself off because I think these things all the time, but I built in mechanisms which slightly prevent me. But you two enabling me to, I'm just managing to hold off.
Is that really why you only hang out with us once a week?
Yeah, because if I didn't, I'd be 800 pounds.
Why don't we play a round of Would You Rather?
Can we play a round of Nick and Andy are in the car driving to Panda Express?
No, we can't. You can do that on your own time. Now, if you had it set up there, that'd be fine.
I just thought it was funny.
All right, here we go. Andy, are you ready to play Would You Rather?
I've already won, but yes.
Okay, would you rather live in a cave or live in a treehouse?
Ooh. So immediate pros, a cave has shade.
Right.
The tree, you could pee off the top.
The question is so easy.
But Andy, you have to get up into the treehouse. That's another thing too.
That's what I've been sitting here thinking that the whole time.
You didn't say it was 100 feet. It could be a foot off the ground.
Well, I'm assuming in my assumption for the sake of conversation, I'm thinking it's like 60 feet up in a big giant sequoia.
The cave could be up the side of a cliff. You don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make this easy. I'm going to put them both at fat person ground level. No more than 5 steps.
Okay.
Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna say the cave.
Cause the cave's cool. Bears live in caves. Horrible snakes go into caves. They don't climb trees and go into tree houses.
If Tiny gets down on his haunches, bears will think that he's one of them.
Yeah, and exactly, and mate
him.
That's
true. That's super true, actually.
And he'll get mated.
Oh man, I might have to take bear.
All right, would you rather be able to teleport anywhere or be able to read minds?
Teleport anywhere.
Yeah, teleportation seems pretty rad because that would, like, you know, if I still had to work in an off in, you know, a studio instead of getting on the train or, you know, paying to have a ride share to work, I could just boom.
How does reading minds help you? Just knowing what somebody's thinking? I mean, you can't really change much with that.
Are you kidding?
Teleportation.
You're in a contract negotiation, Nick. You can read the minds of what they're really thinking.
Yeah, but that's not work. Like teleporting, I could teleport in, grab the crown jewels, and teleport out.
What if you are in a relationship and you can tell what your significant other is thinking?
But I don't want them to think. If they were thinking bad things, then I would just feel bad. I want them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you know to get out of the relationship, though.
Well, but don't you know anyway? I don't know.
You're kind of right, though. I mean, you kind of have an idea already, but...
know something? So this was the question at my Starbucks the other week. It said out front, what would your superpower be if you were a superhero? And I asked the kid who was serving Starbucks, and he said, reading minds. And I was like, my first thing that went through my head was like, how insecure are you that you want to read everybody's mind? Like, that was the first thing. But the other thing is, like, my superpower would have been to make everybody happy. And then he forgot one of my drinks. And I said, hey, I bet you wish you had a superpower now. You forgot one of my drinks. Like, I wish you could read my mind right now. And he went, oh, that's really funny. But the truth is, I think superpower of mind reading would just send you into a frenzy. Like, what if you started to read the mind of someone who was a serial killer who was standing next to you in the line? And then, I mean, in the store. And you just freak out if you could hear what people were thinking around you.
I would beat your ass.
You know what you think of people? Imagine you could hear everybody's thought in the grocery store. It would be awful. Teleport, that's what I say.
What about you, Andy?
Okay, so hear me out. My initial line of thinking was, okay, I could teleport into the bank and take all the money, or if I could read the bank manager's mind, I would know the code, but then how would I go get it? So teleport.
Either way, in that scenario, we know he's a little thief because both ways he was stealing money. So now we know.
And I would give it back to the community. Don't give him your wallet.
Oh, wait. Now he'd give it back to the community, Robin Hood. But before, he was just stealing the money.
Yeah.
This is kind of a dumb one for us, I think. Would you rather never be able to eat meat or never be able to eat a vegetable?
What?
All right, next. Stupid, dumb.
But I will say this, though. Like, I could do, like I was telling Nick, Thanksgiving. Well, I could do Thanksgiving with just the sides that don't have anything to do with meat. I'm okay with it.
Does rice and rice, potatoes, wheat,
yeah,
I get that counts as vegetables.
Right.
I would say never be able to eat meat because, you know, there's plenty of things out there that you can taste like meat. And after a while, you'd be sick and tired of bacon.
No, you never would.
Yeah, you would.
Take that back. Right now, that's blasphemy.
But yeah, we let
a lot of things go on this podcast, but not that.
All right. Let's.
We should draft things up. It's sad enough when you think about people passing away. When I think about you guys, I feel like I'm the same age I was when we first met. And we were doing the show together.
Yeah.
And I think of you the same way. Even though I know our actual ages and all that kind of stuff, it feels like we are just kind of timeless. Like we're somehow, if this was a mirage, if we will, in life, like maybe I'm actually in hell and this is what's happening. But the one ticket I get each week is I get to talk to my friends, Nick and Tiny, and do a podcast together. I feel like I'm okay with that. If this is my purgatory, locked down in my apartment for 9 months, but every once in a while you get to talk to your friends. I'm saying right now, hell isn't as bad as I thought it would be, but this isn't.
Not the worst.
Right. This isn't the apocalypse I'd really thought would happen. This is kind of lame compared to what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, your apartment is not that bad.
No, my apartment's fine. I've been in it for 9 months of my life.
It's all right. I've already booked the guys to come in at the end of when this is all over. The guys from the TV show Hoarders will be coming in to help you.
That's the one thing about being in your house 24/7 all the time. It's spotless in here all the time. If I make my bed and early, Andy, today I was putting on my hand cream because I'm an old lady.
Oh my God.
And I noticed that the bed spread had a wrinkle in it. And I was like, what do I do? I'm putting my hand cream on and the bedspread needs to be smoothed out. You know what I did? I flopped my Fred Flintstone foot on the bed and smoothed it out with my leg as I was buttering my hands.
I thought you would have got down on all fours and used your teeth to tug at it.
I probably will next time, just to think about it.
All right, see? It's kind of sexy.
We've all lived full lives, like I said. Is there anything you would do differently if you could go back and change?
Yeah, I would probably go back and learn how to use the food pyramid.
What? Why? What do you?
Because sometimes I don't be knowing what's the best thing to put in my stomach. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Like, have you ever, Andy, thought about getting on one of those meal kits or whatever they send to your house? It's like protein and broccoli, and they just send you like, you know, enough for the entire week. And then you don't have to think about it.
Yeah. I thought about it, but, and then I didn't.
And then you're like, there's cake available in the world.
Right. I mean, if they send me some snacks, then we can talk. But
do you? Because I know, like Nick was saying, how he struggles, and I know, like you and I are a little bit more lax in our thinking about it. Like I feel like he goes all in. Like I'm gonna get on this pill. I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna go on a juice diet, or he goes to the extreme. He takes the fad diet situation. You and I have done like, and I'm not saying Nick hasn't done the workout stuff, but you and I have gotten to MMA fighter training.
Yeah.
And we've learned how to eat in order to lose fat and gain muscle and all that kind of stuff. In your mind, because you know technically, scientifically what to do, what is stopping us? Is it just because food tastes so good? Are we scared of being too damn sexy? What is it?
Well, for a typical fat dude, that last sentence may be true, but I know damn well you and I are at our peak. Like, we can't really get much better looking. You know, my for real answer would be it's probably an internal mental issue.
Yeah.
I know you and I are mentally stronger. Like I know I should be able to walk by a cake and be like, "F you, cake." And I know I can.
Andy,
do that.
Come on.
I
mean, we should never ever say "F you" to a cake.
Yeah, ever.
I don't care what diet you're on, Nick. We want to just maybe we should sign something. Let's just swear to each other we'll never say "F you" to a cake.
Yeah, I'll put my hand in the middle. Put your guys' hands in.
There you go.
Well, it depends what kind of cake. I mean, if it's carrot cake.
I mean, carrot cake has that nougat in it, like that layer of, what is it, like pure brown sugar, nougaty, you know what I mean? Like, and then
it also has carrots in it.
But you just take that off. You take the frosting and then that nougat layer, and then you got, that's the perfect one right there. The coconut I can do without that's in carrot cake. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. I just, not to get too crazy on a tangent, I believe it's mental. I believe it has to do with either depression and or 2 teaspoons of insecurity.
Is it because you're already feel good about yourself as far as like your appearance? And if you take it down a notch with some workout and proper, healthier food eating, maybe you'll be too sexy?
Yeah, I don't want to the game up for everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to be careful, right? You got to keep things. It's already in your favor the way it is, like.
Yeah. I don't want to see another king not eat. You know what I mean?
You're only thinking of other people. That's really noble of you.
Yeah.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny. Back together.
Find full episodes everywhere you get your podcasts
at backtogetherpod.com.